That's right.
Hallelujah. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you just pour the Holy Spirit anointing upon this man. Got it inside of him. It's living inside of him. That living spirit. Lord, let it come out. Let it come out in the words that you put inside of him. On his heart. And let it come out, Lord, as the truth.
That's right.
Let the truth be told.
In the name of Jesus.
In a bold manner, Lord, that everyone will understand. And then to the outer court. Thank you so much for the word. Let it be told tonight. Let it be edified the body. And most of all, Lord God, glorify you.
Amen. 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 Get your Bibles. Turn to Acts 27. Acts chapter 27. God is so good. All the time. That's right. I can't remember a time when God just left me alone and let me have to do the best I can. Amen. I might have felt like it at times, but you know what? He was always there. You don't text God, you don't test God's faithfulness by the situation you're in. You test God's faithfulness by looking backwards. Amen. Always looking backwards. How many think that last year or the year before last was the good old days? Maybe 5 years ago were the good old days. You may say, guess what? It may have been the good old days 5 years ago, but 5 years ago, you just thought 5 years before were the good old days. Amen? We've always got something to be praying about, always got something to be thankful about. Now Paul here, I'm going to be reading parts of the book of Acts, and so in chapter 27, so I'm just going to just turn there, and we're going to go down Acts 27. How many's ever felt like your boat was being rocked? How many felt like it was being rocked hard? Amen. How many's ever felt like your sails were getting tattered and torn? Yeah, you're doing all you can. You're trying to get it going, and you feel like things are going all to pieces anyway. Well, you know, that happens in our lives a lot. That's called life. Amen. And that's called life. But you know what? If you, because of your anointing, listen carefully, because of your anointing, Satan attacks. All right? Satan attacks. You can actually base, if you look at the size of the attacks, you can pretty well believe there's a good future coming. If you're not being attacked at all, don't worry, the future's not looking too good right now, okay? But if you're being attacked, and the harder you're being attacked, he's trying an all-out effort to get you down and to lay down and play dead before the future can come to pass. Here's Paul. Paul's on the way to Caesar. He's in this ship, and he's told these guys, you don't need to do this, but they did it anyway. He said, it's not right now, it's not a good time, but they had to go about their own way. They were so worried about things. Have you ever seen anybody get so concerned with things that they mess out on what God's got for them? They're so concerned. Is it working, sister? It's got static. Have we got another one in here? You need a battery? Where's the pit crew at? We can put a battery in that thing. Here he comes. Is that better? Is the static out now? Static's out. Okay, we got it. Pit crew, stay on standby. Not a problem. We make sure everybody can hear. Amen. All right, so now, remember, it's because of your anointing is why Satan attacks you. So don't just think of him as attacking just you. He's attacking the anointing upon you, an anointing within you. And he wants to keep it down, because if he can keep it down, he can keep you down. Amen? He wants to keep everything down. He wants to keep you manageable. And so there's a scripture, 2 Corinthians 1 and 10, that says, from such terrible dangers of death, he saved us and will save us, and we have placed our hope in him that he will save us again. In other words, he saved me before. He saved me recently. He's going to save me down the road. How many has had God, you know, God saved you through something? God took care of you through something. How many times can you go back and say again and again and again and again, God did something for me? And so now in the middle of your pain right now, Satan is trying to tell you God's not going to do anything. Look back. Have you ever seen a time he didn't do something for you? You know, I tell my boys, Daddy, I'm going to starve to death. I said, no, you're not. I said, yes, you are. You don't even care. That's what the boys will say. I said, boys, look back. Number one, step on the scale. Have you ever missed a meal? Especially D.C. Look back. Have I ever made you go without? Have I ever let you go out without proper clothing? Have I ever let you do anything without having the proper tools? No, Dad, no. I said, okay, if I haven't done it before, I'm not going to do it now. You can trust your father. The same way we can trust our Heavenly Father. You know, God promises that He's going to be with us no matter what happens to us. And that when He's with us, no matter what's happening to us, you've got God who may be whispering, I'm here. But you've got fear shouting, where's God? Think about it now. God's whispering in a still small voice, I'm here. And pain and fear is shouting, where's God? You have to know, have to discern. Part of being a mature Christian is discerning between that loud, overpowering voice that is trying to distract you and trying to rip the anointing from you, and know that God is there. God is listening to our prayers. He hasn't stopped listening, and you don't ever have to stop trusting God. So here's Paul. He's on the way. And the Bible tells us in verse 20, I mean, here they are. They're, let me just go back a little further here. Acts 27. Let's go to verse 10. And he said to them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only the laden in the ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to weather in, or winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. If by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And Euroclydon was such a bad wind, it was considered the same thing that would be a tornado on the ground would be Euroclydon in the water. That same power, that same force, F4 or F5 tornado would be a Euroclydon in the water. So here it is, it's up against him, it's something very bad. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive. And running upon a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. They're trying to fix stuff up, trying to keep it going. Which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, fearing that they should at least fall into the quicksand, strike sail, and so were driven. They can't even stop long enough to fix stuff. And was exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Wait a minute. That's the whole reason that they were having to get into the storm to start with. Paul said, don't go. It's not worth it. You're going to lose what you're trying to get there. And Paul said, I mean, the man said, we've got to get it there, and we're going to get it there no matter what. Guess what? No matter what came. And now the stuff they were so afraid of losing, they're throwing overboard. Wow, it's amazing, isn't it? How we start seeing things different when stuff gets rough. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, nor small tempests lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained his harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wow, wow. Let me tell you something, it was so bad they couldn't even stop the ship to work on it. It was so bad they had to just let her ride. It was so bad they had to throw the stuff they were trying to sail, they had to throw it overboard. They even threw out their own tackling, so now they can't even control the ship. And in the middle of all this, God still sends an angel. Wow. They couldn't get off of the ship, but God sure got on it. Amen. You may not can get out of the situation you're in right now. There's no way you can get out of it. There's no way. You can't even try to fix it because you're so busy running with the wind. And I want you to know tonight, God can be there when nobody else can. It's not going to stop. So watch this now. I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes on how to revive and thrive your faith when things look hopeless. How to revive and thrive in your faith when things are really tough. I remember that movie, Brother Walt there always said, we're in a tough spot now, boys. We're in a tough spot now, boys. He used to always say, we're in a tough spot now, boys. You know, we'll be doing something. My boys look at me and say, Dad, we're in a tough spot now, Dad. Or Linda look at me and say, we're in a tough spot now, boy. I go, yeah, it looks like it, don't it? Here's what happens. I'm going to give you six things, and I want you to write these down. And I want you to remember that when things are looking out of control, when things are looking hopeless, when things are looking like situations you have no control over whatsoever, here's what I want you to do. Number one, get out your pen, get out your paper, and here's what I want you to do. Ask God for the lesson. Wow. Ask God for the lesson. You see, if God allows tough times in our life, He never allows tough times without a lesson attached to it. That's how we grow. We find the lesson, we learn the lesson, we apply the lesson. And after we apply the lesson, then the next time it comes up, we've got strength. We've got wisdom that we didn't have before because we didn't just say, God, take the storm away. We said, God, teach me the lesson in the middle of this storm. If you allow it, God, if you're allowing it, there's a reason. You see, here's what I've learned. When you can't see God's hand, you can always trust His heart. When you cannot see God's hand, they couldn't see God's hand. They couldn't even see anything for 14 days. They've been on the water for 2 weeks, and they're just in this bad, bad storm. And here it is. When you can't see God's hand, you can trust His heart. God sent an angel and said, this ain't going to get you. You think it is. The guys running the ship think it is. But this is not going to destroy you. This is going to propel you to your anointed place. This is going to propel you to the next step and the next stage of your Christian walk. So remember, always, God, and I've learned this and it's helped me so much, God, I'd rather you not let this happen, but if it's going to happen, please tell me what I'm supposed to learn. And if you can tell me what I'm supposed to learn, I promise you, God, if you show it to me, I'll learn it. Amen? And then and next time is so awesome because next time I feel a peace instead of feeling frustrated when it comes, now I feel a peace. Because I know God's already showed me how to get past that one. I'm going to the next one. So number one, always in tough situations, ask God for the lesson. Why are you trying to teach me? Number two, oh, here's the hard one. Listen. Listen, we're so busy hollering, fix that mast. Move the sails. We got to do this. Go speed up, slow down, turn right, turn left. Sometimes you just need to slow down and listen. And how do you listen? What do you look for? Read this. God will talk to you through this. It's so amazing how God talks to us. Now with Paul, of course, Paul was writing this, and as Paul was writing this, see, he learned the lesson. He wrote the lesson down, and now we can learn from his lesson. That's awesome. So now you're writing your own book. People are watching. They're seeing how you handle things, and they're learning by watching you how you handle your trials. Now watch this. You never know the complete truth about any situation until you hear from God. He said in verse 25, "Word with sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit it must be cast upon a certain island." This is God talking to him. God's telling him, "All right, it's looking rough, but you got to know you're not going to die. Y'all guys are not going to be destroyed. The ship is going down, but you're not going under. Watch out, it's going to be okay." So first, learn. They're all L's too, if you want to know that. They're all L's. Number one, learn. Learn the lesson. Number two, learn to listen. And that sometimes is kind of hard for me because I'm busy giving God instructions. I know I'm the only one. I'm telling God how I want it all to work out. I'm telling God how it's supposed to work out. I'm telling God all kinds of things. And He's looking at me, I can see Him sometimes going, boy, you think you got something going on, don't you? You have no idea what's happening. I went over yesterday and watched Emmy and Anna Lane for a couple of hours while Daniel and Michelle left, and Anna Lane was asleep. And so Emmy and I were watching about pilgrims, and I was working on today's sermon, and I was surprised I didn't have a pilgrim on the sermon today because she had me going back and forth. But Up come Anna Lane. When she heard my voice, man, she went crazy. So she had to come in there with us. And so I'm trying to tell Emmy how to fix the popcorn. She wants to fix it. She's standing in a chair to even reach the microwave. She's trying to reach the microwave. She's throwing the stuff in there. I'm trying to tell her how to do it. And here comes Anna Lane in her little voice. And I think she said, "Sissy, can I help?" I heard her say "sissy" and I heard "help." And I saw her in her little waddling way, waddle all up and climb in the chair with Anna Lane, with Emmy. And Emmy's trying to show Anna Lane what's going on. Anna Lane's trying to help Emmy go on. And I'm the only one that sees what's going on because I'm above all of them. As I'm talking to Emmy, I'm catching Anna Lane because she fell out of the chair. I sent her to the side. Emmy gets back in the chair. I'm getting her out of the chair. I'm trying to take the chair out of the way. They're both trying to tell me how to make this popcorn. I don't think Anna Lane realizes she don't know how to read the directions. 1.5 and 8. So the 8-year-old's reading the directions, but I'm not sure she read them correctly. Because I don't think popcorn should be that color when you get through with it. And I'm trying to tell them, if y'all just wait, I'll tell you what to do. But they were scrambling around the porch, around the yard. I mean, not the yard, but the kitchen. They were going back and forth. And I was trying to get them to stop, and the popcorn burning. Then Emmy said, "I got it, Paw. Just go take Anna Lane in the living room." So Anna Lane goes, "I'm going to make it sweet. I got to go to the bathroom." And so Emmy comes in and says, "I got this, Paw." And I thought about the microwave. And I thought about the popcorn. I said, "This is not going to be good." And so Emmy goes to put a diaper on Anna Lane. Anna Lane won't hold still. I said, "You need help." She says, "I got this, Paw." "Okay." She puts her diaper on backwards and can't connect it. So I pick up Anna Lane. I'm holding her like a little bullfrog or a puppy or something. And Emmy, I said, turned around. And by the time she got it hooked up, I slipped my leg and stuck it right here. And I pulled the straps around and said, "There you go." When Daniel came, he said, "Dad, who diapered that baby?" Then Emmy goes and says, "I'm going to take care of the popcorn." Now she took care of the popcorn. She filled it full of sour gummy worms. So now I got popcorn, sour gummy worms, and chocolate drops. So they were, yeah. But the whole thing is, if they'd have listened to me, we could have had her diaper. She could have been having a good time. Emmy could have been sitting down eating popcorn that weren't burnt. They didn't have to be filled for whatever the other stuff was to make it taste better. They just didn't want to hear what I had to say. And so I was cleaning up their mess instead of teaching them how. Here we go. How many times has God had to clean your mess up? Oh, here we are. Don't shout me down. Don't shout me down now. How many times has God had to clean your mess up when if you'd have listened to start with? It'd have been a whole lot faster, a whole lot cleaner, a whole lot snazzier. You'd been ready. So that's what Paul's telling them here. If you'd listened to me, this wouldn't have happened. You ain't listening. No more than God, and I've done that before. I said, "God, I got this." I know I'm the only one in here that's ever done that. And every time I say, "God, I got this," and the older I get, when I say, "I got this," I go, "Ooh, no, I don't. No, I don't, God. You got to show me." So look, listen. Number 3, learn to listen, learn the lesson, learn to listen, and learn to lean. Don't panic. Don't take matters into your own hands. Learn to lean. But when the 14th night was come, we were driven up and down in Adria. About midnight, the shipmen deemed that they were drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, it sounded again and found it 15 fathoms, meaning they're getting close to the shore. Then fearing that we should fall upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let the boat down into the let had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, except, they're trying to get out of the ship. He said, except we abide in the ship, you're not going to be saved. Then the soldiers cut the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. The safety boat's gone. So now they're in the boat and they don't know what else to do. Let me tell you something. Some of us right now, in certain areas of our life, we're in the boat. It's crashing against the shore. You really want to take the safety boat or the escape boat and put it over the side, the skiff, and get in it. But you know what? I've seen people get in that skiff, and it was worse for them because now they'll have the protection of the boat, and they've gone under. So what do? When you just don't know what to do, remember this. God's word is truth, regardless of your circumstance. Wow. God's word is truth, regardless of your circumstances. Don't panic. Remember, keep trusting God all along the way. Don't take matters in your own hands. Those guys are going to take matters in their own hands. Had they gone over in that little skiff, they would have drowned before they even got to the shore. They said, unless you stay in this boat, you're going to drown. So now, number four, I'm getting close to the end. Learn to live. You know, I've heard it said, I've even read some psychology books, believe it or not, that have said the average male dies at the age of 25. He just doesn't lay down until he's 65 or 70. Now, what does that mean? That means people just kind of quit living. They go from dreams and expecting to just surviving. Every day now I'm just surviving. And from believing God's going to do something special to, God, if you can just get me through the next day, I'll be okay. God, if you can just get me through what I'm going through, everything will be all right. And you quit living. Don't stop living. Well, verse 33 says, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day since you've tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is your health, for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took the bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all of good cheer, and they all took some meat. And when we were all in the ship, about 200, 316 souls, 276 men. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. You need strength to continue on. Don't stop living. Don't stop. I can't say that enough. Don't stop living. All right. Now, number five. Learn to let God be God. Learn to release. You know, I have a hard time. I used to have a big hard time with that, releasing, because I'm one of those fix-it guys. And because I'm a fix-it guy, many of y'all are fix-it guys, fix-it people. You know, a fix-it person, they want to be in the middle of it. You know, if there's something going on, I want to be in the middle of it. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. I want to be in the middle of it, and if there's anybody I can do to help fix it, I'll help fix it. You know, like Daniel, did y'all hear about this van that went crazy on Highway 33 last Saturday night? The guy was high on drugs, and he was flying through the Walmart parking lot, trying to hit people, spun a donut in the parking lot, went out on Highway 33, was all over the place, crazy, dodging in and out of traffic. As he's dodging in and out of traffic, he winds up hitting a car out there by the graveyard. Daniel was in all this. Daniel said he saw the guy. He said he had to move over to keep the guy from hitting him. He pulled over so the guy wouldn't hit him. Then the cars hit, and when the cars hit, he hit somebody. He T-boned somebody, and he took off running. And Daniel saw the other people in the other car, and there was a man and a woman. The woman was already in a back brace. And so Daniel went up, and Daniel, the EMS hadn't got there yet because Daniel was right there at the scene. So Daniel looks at the woman and she's bleeding from her mouth. So Daniel says, open your mouth, smile. She smiled and he said, now open your mouth. Shut your mouth. She says, it's not internal bleeding. You bit your tongue. Now, here's Daniel. He says, you can either swallow it and throw up or you can spit it in the floor. And he said, the truck's totaled anyway. So he said, before he could get out of his mouth, she went. And then the other guy, he was hurt. His arm was broken. Daniel tried to get the door up and couldn't. So he got in stable and waited for the EMS to come there. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, letting God have it. God's got somebody out there like Daniel was that night. Or how many times y'all come from somebody that was hurt or somebody that needed some help and you happen to come right up, right on the top of it. I heard about this one guy. One guy was a logger and he needed a chain. He could not get a chain. He needed a big chain to finish his job. And they were so far from home, they were even so far from a store, and they needed this big chain to help them get this big old stump out of the ground. And they just didn't have a chain. And so the guy said, told his other guy, said, let's stop and pray. And his guy said, why are you going to stop and pray? We need a chain. He said, I know we need a chain. Let's stop and pray. So everybody stopped and said, Lord, we need a chain. We need it now. We're not asking for something crazy. We're not asking for something stupid. We're nowhere close to a store. We don't have anything. God, we need a chain to help us finish this so we can get out of here. And the guys kind of laughed at him. This is a true story. And as the guys were laughing at him, a big old truck come around in the curve right where they were at trying to get that stuff taken care of. And something fell off the back of that truck and the truck kept on going. And they walked over and looked, and what was it? That big old chain. And he said, see, God can do anything. Learn to release. See, let God have the boat. Let God be the pilot. Let God take care of it. You see, if he wants to wreck it, let him wreck it. Because he's the only one that really knows what he's doing. Hey, I've seen times with a boat wrecked, and what I realized was, what God was teaching was, my job was to outlast the storm. That's it. He wasn't going to stop the storm. I had to allow him to do what he was going to do, and my job was to outlast the storm. So if it's in here right now, you may be going through something, and honestly, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to ask God for strength, release it unto him, give him the boat, and then say, God, help me outlast the storm. Number six, and I'm closing. Learn to look. Look for a way of escape. Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taking you, what's common to man, said, but in every temptation, God will provide a means or a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Some people misquote and say the way of escape means I'm not going to have to go through it. That's not what it said, that you may be able to bear it. Bear up under the load. The way you bear up under the load is because God has given you the ability to bear up under the load. So, now watch this. You know, I was thinking about this, and I've told a lot of y'all this, so some of this is not even going to sound unfamiliar to you. When Elijah pronounced judgment, the drought, Elijah, God sent him to the brook, Cherith, covenant. Send him there. I'm going to take care of you. You got water in the brook. And the Bible makes it so pretty. The ravens brought him meat. You think, man, that's got to be awesome. The ravens bringing you meat. Think about it, him dropping the McDonald's bag to you. Him dropping an outbox from Golden Corral. Well, that word raven, if you trace it back, that word raven is buzzard. And watch this, I don't mean to make you feel bad, but if it's a drought and animals are dying all around, what does the buzzards eat? They're cleaning up the road. So they're on the dead animals, they're picking up the meat and they're bringing it to Elijah. And the Lord spoke to me about that and said, you know, I've tried to bless you many times, but you've been picky about how I bless you. Well, come on, there's another. Don't shout me down. You've been picky. I've been trying to bless you. And no matter how I try to bring it to you, you keep pushing it away because you think it's going to be this way or this way or this way. And so I'm trying to work on a message called the Roadkill Cafe. God wants to bless us, but you got to trust Him. Learn to look for that way of escape. Remember, Satan's just not after you. He's after your anointing. He's after whatever God's got for you, because He wants to stifle it, bring it down, so you will not be effective. But you know what? We can be strong. Learn to lesson, learn to listen, learn to lean, learn to live, learn to let go, let God, and learn to look. And let God do it the way He wants to do it. God is your boat anyway. You know, I remember years ago, after DC and Daniel's mama died, and I remember DC and I had some hard times. He was having hard times, and we had some hard times. And for a while there, I didn't think, no matter what we did, we couldn't speak to each other. And I was trying my best to speak to him, and he was trying his best to speak to me, but I reckon he was speaking one language, I was speaking the other. I don't know. It just didn't ever work. And for a long time there, it just didn't work. And I got praying about that thing, and I said, God, I do not want to live this way. I'm not going to live this way. Show me what I need to do to enhance, to increase, to help our communication. Did it happen overnight? Nope. Did it just pop right back in place? Nope. It took a few years. Once God got us on that same wavelength, ever since then, we've been inseparable. God has showed us something, and we're right together. Even when He says He's coming here, He says, Dad, I want to come here. I want to help y'all. I want to help see the church grow, see it flourish. I want to do whatever I can, not to hurt it, but to see it grow. He said, Dad, He said, I feel it. You know what? We're that way a few years ago. God, I just let go. And I said, here, Lord, if the ship gets banged all to pieces, it's okay. And it got banged pretty hard. But you know what? I can call that boy right now. No matter what he's doing, he'll stop and he'll be right here. And if he calls me, I'll stop what I'm doing. I'll be right there. He's put his money, or put his money where his mouth is, so to speak, more than one time. God is God, is God, is God. He has never stopped being God. He's never ceased to be in God. God did something that I can't even explain. I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you the turning point. All I can tell you is, just like that prayer we just did for your boy, just like that, things started changing. And when it did, wow, it was so awesome. And DC even told me, said, Dad, I'm tired of playing in the bars. And I think one way I blew him away was one time he was going to be here on Father's Day or Mother's Day, and he was going to sing Amazing Grace with me. We were going to do a duet on the guitars to the tune of Peaceful, Easy Feeling. Y'all remember that? DC was playing at the VIP club. And DC said, Dad, I want to play, but I ain't got time to practice. So the only time I'm going to be in town is going to be there at VIP club at 5 o'clock Friday. I said, I'll be there. And I grabbed my guitar, and I walked into the VIP club. There was nobody there. It was just him and the manager and the people that played in the group. He said, Dad, you just came into the VIP club. I said, well, I'm not going to get a drink or anything. I said, we got to practice. So whenever we're going to get a chance to practice. He said, but you came to me. I said, yeah. And we sat down and started playing, and it was really good. And the manager says, please don't play that tonight. That's not good for business, eh? God started turning that boy's heart. He started playing gospel songs at the end of the night, and the manager come to him and say, can you please stop doing that? You're killing my business. Stop it. And then DC finally said, Dad, I can't do it anymore. I've got to leave it. I've got to play for God. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's right. That's right. Yeah, I remember when I was a teenager, we would go to Charlotte Street Rec, and we did all kinds of things that if the law had to come, we'd have been in trouble. we would do some things, honestly, only by the grace of God, we didn't get arrested. And I remember there was a preacher that lived three houses down, and it was not many weeks, one or two nights a week. We were out there for three or four nights a week. He would just walk by like he was casually walking by. He casually walked by past us. And he'd go, hey, fellas, how y'all doing? And he'd sit there and he'd put his hand on our shoulders and he would tell us, y'all got, and we knew. I mean, we were kind of like, you know, number one, we're not necessarily doing what we should be doing. And number two, there's a preacher. And number three, we're looking for the law. And he'd come by and he would just go, I just want to tell you, that God's got something in store for y'all. He'd pat us on the back and keep on going. And I remember years later when he and I ran into him in Roses in Washington. And he asked me, how was it going? I said, it's going wonderful. I said, matter of fact, I said, I got my license. I said, I'm getting ready to go ahead and do some pastoring. And he went, and he said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I said, well, you never shoved it down my throat. He said, you wouldn't have listened if I'd have shoved it down your throat. He said, I just loved you. Awesome. 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 Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for your word. I thank you for its power. I thank you, God, that we don't have to walk alone. I thank you, God, that you're with us, Lord. And no matter how tough the storm is, you'll be there. You'll take care of us. Lord, I don't understand all the things we go through, Lord, but I know there's times we just have to outlast the storm. Ask God to teach us that lesson and help us to apply it, because there's others watching and they're going to apply that lesson too, because they see how good it is. Lord, help us, God, not to be afraid. Give it to you. Look for that way of escape, and we'll trust you in all that we do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Look, Tuesday night, we're going to start talking about communication. Communication. We just got through talking about worry. We talked about worry for weeks. We talked about worry so much, I was starting to get worried.